radio hosts got our voices confused. Their listeners were amused.
My name is Claudia.
And I'm B.
Would you like to join us for tea?
Hello, welcome you guys to another episode of Tea with Claudia and B. That's B.
Hey guys.
And this is Claudia chit-chatting. So we hope that you guys are doing well, and we're super excited for this episode because we're comparing Clueless and Emma, and Clueless is like my favorite movie in the whole world, so.
I can see why. When I was watching it this week, it's been so long since I watched it, and when I started watching it this week, I was like, of course this is Claudia's favorite. You should have known all along.
I know. It's so good. It's like, yeah, it's brilliant. There's a lot of people, though, that are Jane Austen obsessed that think that Clueless is like the best movie ever made. And I'm like, yeah, totally. It's so good. It's brilliant. It is.
It's really funny. It's a cute movie. But then when, I don't know, I think anytime that you know, like, the story that it's based on and you're like, oh, I get it now. Like, it's not just funny. There's a whole story going on with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I know. It's great. So you may notice that we're in a different location, you guys. We decided to do a bedtime podcast. We're in our beds.
We're very professional, and we're literally laying in bed recording a podcast.
But so I actually have a lot of, like, Jane Austen decorations, like, behind here. Like, you'll see this is Emma, I got these at the Jane Austen Festival. Last time I did my Jane Austen book club, you see over here, that's, we did like, since Emma draws, we did our little book club meeting, we drew. And so it says, if I loved you less, I might be able to talk about it more, which actually is not in the book, but it's in the movie, the one that that he says.
I was wondering.
And then Emma, yeah. And then this is just, like, I got it when I went to Disneyland for the first time. So that's not, like, Jane Austen related, but, you know.
It looks like you planned this. Like, you decorated real quick when I was like, can we just stay in bed and record?
I know. Well, those of you listening, like, it's just basically a bunch of Jane Austen pictures. And then there's a really pretty picture that an artist drew at Disneyland that has my name and, like, Aurora, like, a little figurine of Aurora and glitter and all that. So,
yeah. You can just see my makeup brushes in the back, and then, like, I still have Christmas decorations with candles, so.
I love it. I love the candle. Here. The candles? Like, it's okay.
Candles. I know. I'm obsessed with candles. I probably light 2 to 3 candles a night.
Like, I love candles. They're so good. They're so good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
They just make me happy. Anyway, I just wasn't feeling it today, and I Marco Polo'd Claudia as we were getting ready, and I was like, can we just record in bed? So it's what we're doing. It's just,
yeah.
I hope you guys are in bed as you're listening. This will all, it'll be like one big slumber party.
It will be perfect. It will be perfect. Okay, you guys, so we are starting with our weekly obsessions, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can go first. What's your weekly obsession?
Okay. Well, I do feel like my weekly obsession is pretty good for a Jane Austen theme because I am really obsessed this week with going for walks outside.
Oh, how fun.
It's really nice. I'm like, okay, I'm not a huge hiker because I think most of the time when I go hiking, it's with people that are like super intense and like athletic and competitive. And then I'm dying at the end and I just feel like a fat kid. But I do love going on walks, just like strolling around. It's like one of my favorite things. And I made a goal this year to like be outside every day for at least 30 minutes. And so I've just been combining those two things and going on walks every day. And it is the best. I cannot tell you how happy I am at the end of going for a walk. I'm like, life is so great. And I just have such a mood boost. So I'm like obsessed with that. And this January has been so weird. Like in Washington, usually it's so much colder, but we have barely gotten any snow. We've had cold days, but it hasn't been freezing like it normally is. So I'm loving it. I am here for this January.
Yeah, that's nice. That's really good. I remember living when I lived in Washington, like I remember one year we didn't get snow until February, like not in.
It's so weird when that happens. And then you get so much and you feel like you're snowed in for months. So fingers crossed that happens now. And then the second obsession I have, so I've been really, I kind of mentioned it to you, but I'm going to say everything else again that you've already heard me say. So I have kind of watched this show off and on for the last year. It's a BBC like mystery show. It's called Endeavor.
Oh, mom, if you're listening, my mom is legit obsessed, you guys. She takes notes on every episode and has all these books and yeah.
I know. Claudia's mama. I'll watch it with you. Yeah, she's okay. So I've kind of watched it like slowly and I've recently become like super into it. But here's the thing. It's like, so it's like a British procedural show. It takes place in the 1960s. So it's kind of old school. It's fun in that sense that they don't have all of the, you know, all of the forensics to figure out the murders and the crimes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those BBC shows that's very subdued. I don't even know how to describe it. First of all, they have all of the different accents, all of the different British accents, and some of them are kind of hard to understand. Like, they kind of have, like, a mumbly thing, and, I mean, heaven knows what our accents sound like to everyone else, but, like, they kind of have, like, a mumbly, like, they just kind of talk together, and it's hard to, like, really understand what they're saying sometimes, so I have to really pay attention. But I swear to you, every single episode I've watched of this show, I am now in the fifth season, every single episode I've watched, halfway through it, I'll be like, I don't know what the hell is going on. Like, I am so lost. I'll just be sitting there and I'm like, I don't really know what's going on. Okay, and something just happened. Like, they just discovered something. I don't know why that's important. They all seem excited. Am I missing something? I will be so lost. And then by the end, I finally like get it together. They bring it around. They explain the things. And I'm like, oh, I see now. Okay. But I think it's because I get so lost, I'm enjoying it that much.
No, you've got to watch it with my mom. Because, like, you can look through her, like, little notebook thing that she has. Like, she's literally
that
sitting there.
That is so
there.
Funny.
She is the cutest thing ever. She sits there with her little clipboard and is, like, taking notes. And then like, I'll be like, Mom, when we're watching, I'll be like, Mom, I don't understand what happened. Pause. And then she goes, oh, okay, it's because of this. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That is hilarious to me that she, like, takes notes as she goes. I probably should. I might know what's going on if I actually took notes, but I just sit there and struggle.
I tell you, like, when my mom gets obsessed with something, she gets obsessed with something.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there was an Outlander phase where she just was completely obsessed. She was on a part of all these Outlander Facebook groups. She has, like, this huge, like, Outlander poster that she won off of a group for something. And then the Poldark phase happened where she just was like...
Oh, I was obsessed with Poldark too.
Yeah, me too. She would watch it over and over and over and over and over again. And then she read through all of the books obsessively, like, because she was like, I just have to make sure that Ross and Demelza are going to be okay.
Aw, I know. I was worried for them too.
I know, me too.
That's funny. I always feel like I get obsessed with things too because I'll rewatch movies or shows multiple times or I'll like read a book and I'm not ready for it to end and I'll go back and read like the parts that I really loved or that were really thrilling. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, it doesn't sound like I'm on the same level as her, but I'm,
but also closely like, behind. We're not in the same life. Part of life.
Oh, stage of life.
Stage of life, right? So also, and she's married to a doctor, so like, she...
So she's already smarter than I am.
No! I'm just saying that she does, my mom works all the time, but what I'm saying is that she like, has more of a, I don't know how to explain it, but she's like, you know, has a lot of grandkids, and so she makes sure that everyone's okay, and so she has more of a... She doesn't have to get up at, you know, 6:30. I'm sure you get up at, 6:37 every day for work?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so she doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was a time in her life where she did do that, but this is not her time. So she has more time to, yeah. And she's always doing, when she's working up, like, she has, like, a little nest in her house. And so, like, it's, like, the third floor. And so she is always, like, working and stuff. So she always has something on. So it's, like...
And sewing
and all that stuff. Yeah, so that's her life right now. So
cool.
Well, she married a good one.
I should
go
visit her and
you should
watch Endeavor together.
You would love it.
Also, I forgot why it was called Endeavor for a while, and then like a couple episodes ago, I was watching it and I realized the main character, his name is Endeavor. That's his first name. Well, but he always goes by his last name. They always call him Morse. And so I just forgot about it. And then there was like something with his name and I was like, oh, that's why it's called. Yeah. Like, I am like the worst fan for the show because it's like I'm obsessed with it, but I know nothing about it.
Well, no, it's okay. It is a really good show, though. I love watching it because it combines, like, you know, true crime and British and all the things.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question for you, though. Do you find the guy who plays Detective Morse attractive?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think he's cute. I will say he looks a lot like my brother-in-law, so it's, like, a little weird.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, I totally would if that weren't the thing, but I just don't want to be weird. You know what I mean?
So, he is attractive, but you're also, like, not into him.
No, I am into him, but I feel like if I watched the show more, I probably would be, like, super into him because, like, I love, like, solving crimes and stuff. So, I probably would be, but right off the bat, it's not like when you look at Brad Pitt, at least in, like, his... You know,
or John Mayer for me. Just kidding. Watching the show, I was like, he's not that attractive. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. But then I was looking up because I had to investigate him, you know, because I'm an investigator as well. So looking up pictures of him, I was like, okay, actually, I could see where he would be like kind of dreamy. But his character, I guess, is that's kind of the point. He doesn't really care about like being all hot and.
Yeah.
All that,
and he's making a difference. Okay, those are my obsessions. He's making a difference in the world.
Okay. And that's attractive by itself. So,
oh my god! But I will say the soundtrack to that is really cool. Have you listened to it?
Oh, the opera in it is so beautiful.
I love the opera, but also I love the Morse code in the soundtrack, and it makes me like I love that. I love that. And it makes me wonder, it makes me kind of mad at, like, the Titanic people because I'm like, why did you not add in Morse, like, the Morse code of them sending the messages, like, throughout, the soundtrack? Because there were a lot of, I don't know, like, I get kind of irritated that James Cameron did, like, made up characters for Rose and Jack instead of just using real ones because there was, like, affairs that happened on there that would have been, like, perfect. To use that
there were so many interesting humans that were real.
Yeah, like that actually happened. And I don't know. I was just like, I don't know. I
wonder if he would have had to get permission from like their next
their family.
I don't know how that works, but
I don't
maybe
know.
That was something.
I mean, I do know that for Officer Murdoch, the way he was portrayed, he actually apologized to the family for how he was portrayed. Because, like,
oh, really?
Yeah, Officer Murdoch was the one that, like, in the movie shot himself in the head. So, but he actually had to apologize to the family because I don't think that actually happened. I mean, there's so much about that, like, we don't know actually happened because it's all eyewitness accounts. So it's like,
you know, we only can get so much from it.
Yeah.
That's funny, though. I remember watching, I remember listening to the soundtrack of Titanic when it first came out. And thinking about how it sounded like steel and, like, things hitting each other and stuff like
good.
That. Like,
that's good.
Yeah, I remember always thinking, like, oh, they really made it sound like conflict and, like, surprise and stuff like that,
that's
you know?
Good. But I wish they could have added the Morse code in there. I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been clever.
James, let's collaborate.
James. Wait, didn't James Horner do the music for that?
Well, no, I was talking about James Cameron, like, if like
oh
yeah like I would be like
James passed away and I cried the day he died.
No, I don't know who did the music for that. I can't remember, but
I'm gonna look it up. I think it was James Horner,
but I love the soundtrack in that one where it goes like da 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 when they're like running and the lights are like da 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 da, you know.
Yes, you sound exactly like
da, da, da,
I know
da,
what you mean.
Da da da. Okay, so my weekly obsession is like bizarre. So you guys, I've been having some like boy drama this week and I just can't. So I've just been craving fiery hot Cheetos. So I've just been obsessed with fiery hot Cheetos. So I
just. Is that your typical boy drama snack?
that's actually my favorite snack. Like I've been obsessed with fiery hot Cheetos since high school. And
that is funny.
I really like Fire Hot Cheetos so much. Like, I don't know what
Are
it
you
is.
A spicy food girl?
Not too much, but I really like spicy chips.
Interesting. Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
I like them, like, mixed with popcorn. So, anyway, I mean, my weekly obsession isn't, like, really that fascinating. It's just... Yeah, I don't know.
It's relatable, though.
It's just ridiculous. Anyway, it's whatever. That's I funny. Mean, it's like, I don't know. Is it boy drama or is it not boy drama? I don't really know.
I would say it is. Because even if there's not, like, drama happening, I know you feel, like, conflicted from it. And that's part of the reason people get stressed dating, you know?
I know. It's fine. It's just, yeah, it's whatever. Anyway,
we'll tell you all about it someday, guys.
In 5 years.
Yeah. It's true, though. Dating is, like, weird because I feel like I even said we were talking about dating the other day and she was telling me her drama. And I was telling her about this guy that I was, like, super excited about that we went out a week ago. And then we were, like, talking and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like it's ending now because he's not messaging me as much. And she's like, well, maybe that's good. And I was like, no, it's not. I wanted to waste time with him more. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
I know. It is annoying.
The arc of, like, getting excited about somebody and then being like, oh, never mind.
I know. Well, and rewatching Emma. So did we say what Emma we were watching? Did we say that?
We did. Beginning? Yeah. So, okay. But to recap, we watched Clueless and we watched the Gwyneth Paltrow version, which I think came out in 95.
Yes. So anyway, rewatching Clueless and Emma, I'm like, whoa, do I ever need a Josh or a Mr. Knightley, like, in my life?
Yeah.
Bad. Yeah. Like, because what I love about their relationship is that it is, so here's my thing. I'm, like, completely over this, like, I'm so crazy about you. I'm, like, in love. Like, ugh. I'm, like, over
the
that.
The Twitter patient.
Yeah, I'm over that. I really am. Because that freaks me out. And so I'd much rather be, like, friends with somebody and have that trust established. And then it, like, blossoms into something. And you're like, oh, my God. I love you. Like, yay. Mm.
Preach. Amen.
You know what I mean?
And amen.
Instead of this, like, I look at you at first sight. BS, like, oh my God. Yeah. That's unhealthy. Yeah.
You know, romantic love only lasts for so long. That's why you want to have a friendship foundation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at I love... sounding jaded, you're not going to be obsessed with the guy the rest of your life.
I know. That's not. What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And so that's, yeah, I'm so over this, like, I'm in love with you, like, crap.
Yeah. Which is good that we're reading Jane Austen, huh?
I know.
No, but it's true. There is something really mature about Emma in the fact that she ends up falling in love with the person who was always there for her the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, a romantic connection. It
was no, not at first. Like, they, you know? They didn't think of each other that way for 21 years, you know? Because
it's a long time. Could you imagine? Like, think of the people you've known that long. What if you marry one of them?
I know, right?
I don't like that idea, to be honest.
Well, see, okay, here's the thing. So I have this, like, child. I had these, like, childhood friends in Germany. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in high school, one of them came to visit. And I thought he was so cute. And, like, I think he's a couple years older than me. Anyway, they came to visit. And, like, we, like, figured out, like, a crossword puzzle together, and I hate crossword puzzles, but I was like, I'll totally do a crossword puzzle with you. And my sister and my mom were like, oh my God, she's doing a crossword puzzle with him. Whoa, this, you know, but like nothing ever came.
They knew.
Nothing ever came of that, but I was sad because I was like, I don't know if I should have, like, I don't know. I was, at that time, I was like, he needs to make it happen, not me, but...
Yeah. So Jane Austen is great. And Emma's great because it's basically like all of these different courting scenarios and Emma's trying to hook people up. She, like, luckily kind of sets up her governess in a way or encourages this relationship. Mm-hmm. And then after they get married, she's like, ooh, I'm really good at this setup thing, you know? Yeah. So she's trying to set up a friend that she meets named Harriet.
Promise that's not COVID.
If you cough one more time. I'm just kidding. So she ends up getting this friend named Harriet, and she's, like, trying to find Harriet a husband. She's trying to get somebody to fall in love with her, Harriet to fall in love. And so there's, like, all these sneaky ways to get a guy's attention or to hang out with him. So it is kind of funny that we've been, like, talking about dating so much lately.
Mm-hmm. I know, isn't
but it? Because there is, like, that give or take. Like, you have to kind of build tension between each other. You can't be so blunt and so upfront that you kind of remove some of the fun and the flirting and a little bit of mystery, you know? But then there's the other side where it's like, oh, I'm going to let him know that I am interested and, mm-hmm. and then see. And then it's like, why isn't he picking up my hints? Why isn't he doing anything?
Yeah.
Do I need to give more hints? Do I need to be more blunt? Like, that's kind of a hard thing to get a balance of.
I know it is. Well, and yeah, I do not mind dropping handkerchiefs left and right. I will.
Yeah.
Drop as many handkerchiefs.
I'm too prideful for it. I will drop a couple. And if they're not picking it up, I'm like, fine, screw you. You don't want my handkerchief? Give me my doily back, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It just depends, really. It really does. It just depends.
Yeah.
Like, I see certain things in guys, and I'm just like, oh gosh, is that going to be a problem later on? Is that a red flag, yeah. or is that just, like, something that I just need to, like, figure out? I don't know. I can't
really,
do you
get in, like, your head too much?
Yeah, well, I can't really say what I want to say without giving specific examples, because
divulging
this is, like,
all the information, huh?
This is going out to the world, and so I don't want it to, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You got to be discreet. You can't share all the details in dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you could, but then nobody would want to date you, and neither of us want that.
Ah! Okay. So I guess we can start. Yeah, we should start talking about the differences and the similarities with Emma and Clueless.
Yeah.
Okay. So I took notes. So good, a big too. Difference that I noticed, like, right off the bat was that Mr. Elton is prominent, at least in this movie version. I'm not talking about the book. But in this movie version, Mr. Elton is, mm-hmm. like, prominent right away. Whereas in Clueless, Elton doesn't come in until we meet Ty, who is Harriet. Ty, and then we don't, like, meet Elton. Like, I mean, we do meet Elton a little bit, but
yeah,
he's not
front and center present.
Yeah, he's not. It's mm-hmm. just sort of, like, in the background type thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So that's
yeah,
a
I
big
have to say,
thing that I noticed.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think I really actually appreciated rewatching this version of Emma, Gwyneth Paltrow, 1995. That was the first, like, Jane Austen movie that I remember watching with my mom and really getting into it and thinking it was funny. So I kind of love that version. Mm-hmm. And then rewatching it, I think they did a really good job on the writing of getting the storyline in there, the important points, mm-hmm. and portraying it well. I mean, obviously you have to cut out so much because there's just so many details and different characters and interactions and stuff in the book. So in the movies, they have to prioritize which one's which. But they actually do a really good job with that one of mm-hmm. getting the important things in there.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job. They really did show Mr. Elton right away that he was, like, always present and always kind of mm-hmm. generally liked by people. But he was also kind of making himself a fool a little bit. Because you know that Emma's trying to set him up with Harriet, and you can see that he's more into Emma than he is into Harriet. Mm-hmm. So you can tell that there's, like, this weird thing going on, and you're kind of like, okay, he's a little weird, a little awkward.
Yes.
Because he clearly is into a woman that's not into him. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, she's kind of dumb too.
Yeah. Well, and I felt bad because, so I guess for those who have not seen the movie or read the books, so Emma is a snob, but she's, I don't know, she's has so many sides to her. Because, yes, she is a snob, but she, like, runs the house, both in, yeah. both Emma and in Clueless. Like, Cher, like, takes care of her dad. Like, she, like, brings him stuff, always is trying to make sure he's eating okay, like, tries to help yeah. him out with work. And then Emma,
her mother died when she's young, so she's in that position of, like, having to take mm-hmm. care of things.
Yeah, both of, yeah, mm-hmm. and both Cher and Clueless, their mom dies. But, of course, in Clueless, it's because of a routine liposuction.
Well, that's the thing. I think Clueless is good because they do such a good job portraying, like, this stuck-up, bratty, vapid lifestyle that she's in. Like, she's, you know, she's all rich in California and has this amazing house, and her dad's like this mitigation lawyer, and she has everything she wants, and he buys her a Jeep that she can drive to school even before she gets a license, you know, just charmed life. And then in Emma, they do a good job of showing the same thing. Like she's very like particular. Like there's a day where she wants the mail and her dad comes up to her and he's like, oh, has the postman come yet? Like, do we have the post? And she's like, I don't know. I never pay attention to the post. Mm-hmm. But then she like has the post hidden and she's like going through all of the letters, you know, like she's very much about her image and being like the perfect poised young woman. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to watch the two because you see that in Clueless in kind of like a more modern version of what that would be. And then you see that in Emma, that she did write a character that had a charmed life. And I think with Emma, the interesting thing that I find in her character is that she really has a golden heart. She really is a good person and wants to be good and do good. But she is definitely a victim of a charmed life of privilege where they talk about your privilege. And so she's kind of been like, oh, I'm extra adored because I'm like a gentleman's daughter of means, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's a little bit of a tough character sometimes because of that.
Yeah.
She is a brat.
She is a brat. Yeah, she is. But with, okay, so the big difference, okay, so yes, she's a snob, but she still is like a kind person. Like she's not unapproachable. You know what I mean? She's not
No, she's really kind. And a lot of people do love her because of that.
Yeah. And same with Cher. But with, okay, so then in both Clueless and in Emma, there's this girl that like comes in and she's like, you know, comes from like a bad background and stuff. And so Emma and Cher, they like take it upon themselves to like create, like help her and all of this. And so
of course, into good society or the popular group.
Yeah.
Make her the cool kid. You know?
So in Emma, it's cute because they do, I mean, in Clueless, sorry, it's cute because they do like a makeover and stuff. But like with Emma, she's trying to like get her to marry somebody like, you know, of good stature.
Good breeding and all that.
But I will
take care of her.
I will say the big difference with that. So in Clueless, she wants Ty to go with Travis. Okay. And then in Emma, she wants Harriet to go with Robert Martin. I will say that Cher had much more of a like point to not go with Travis because the dude's into drugs, right? Like,
oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's like a pothead, but he's so cute.
I know.
You love his character so much.
I know. I love him too, but I will say like, I would be a little bit like, I don't know if you should do that because Ty comes from the same background of like, you know, the drugs and all of that. And so like, I would want better for her and like for her not to be like living like an addictive lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then once Travis proves himself, you're like, oh, great. But like with Emma, it was like, oh my gosh, like Robert was perfect for her. What are you doing?
Yeah, but Emma was worried because she had made friends with Harriet. And if she married Robert Martin, who was a farmer, she like would be beneath her rank, you know, and it would be kind of like a weird dynamic to have a friend beneath her rank. And so she wanted to elevate Harriet so that they could be equals, which makes sense. But even that is kind of like a stuck up thing because it's like you want her to marry into a relationship where she feels like the inferior person just so that you can have a more convenient friendship, you know, because there's even that line where Harriet says after Mr. Elton, you find out he does not like Harriet and he's gone to find a wife somewhere else. She's like, no, I never felt like I deserved Mr. Elton. Like I never felt like that, you know? And that's kind of an awful situation to be in with somebody that you're considering dating and courting and marrying, you know, that's who wants to feel like that.
I know.
So it's kind of a crappy position that Emma's like, out of the goodness of her heart, wanting to give this friend a better situation in life, she's kind of putting her in situations where she has to like fake it or kind of be like the odd one out a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, Mr. Knightley did bring up a good point where it's like, where is she with her situation in life? Because she goes to, because for people that haven't read the book or the movie, Harriet comes from, she's in a school for girls. I've got Miss Goddard School for Girls, which is basically like unmarried children that come from like unwed couples, right? Isn't that what it is? Yeah, where they, like, yeah, take
or
the
just
girls.
Like lesser means where they want them to go and have like a nicer upbringing or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So in Harriet's case, they didn't know who her parents were. So, like, a ward of some kind had been like, okay, we're going to send her to the school, but she can't know who her parents really are. So there's kind of like a scandal built in of like, where does she come from? Who is she mm-hmm. connected to?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but Mr. Knightley's point was like, where Robert was like a perfect person for her. What the heck are you thinking, Emma?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because Robert wasn't judging her being like, oh, I don't know who your parents are. That's mm-hmm. fine. I don't care. But a gentleman would have had to, like, figure that out before mm-hmm. he could marry her, you know? Mm-hmm. Or he might not have had approval from his family to marry her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
sure.
So
weird.
It is weird. The time is weird. But I am really glad that Travis did the 12-step program. You know what I mean? Before him and Ty got together.
Yeah, Travis in Clueless was like a little pothead in high school, and then he like stopped smoking and stuff. And he's so cute. The whole time he's like the nicest, and he's just trying to like show off and impress Ty. And so every
it's
time
adorable.
You see him in a scene, you're like, oh, I like him. Like, she should go hang with him. You know?
I know.
It's cute.
He's like, I love that part where he's like, she's like, oh, I wish I could do that. When they're at that party when he, like, jumps off of, like, the stairs. He goes, oh, no, girls can't do that because what would guys do to impress them? And she's like, I don't know. Stuff.
Okay. Can we talk about how the cast in Clueless is so great?
Mm-hmm.
But the girl, Ty, who moves in, who represents Harriet from Emma, she's played by Brittany Murphy,
mm-hmm.
and in R.A.P. Clueless, I love her. She just looks, I remember watching Clueless the first time and being like, that's Brittany Murphy? Nuh-uh. Mm-hmm. Nuh-uh. Like,
yeah.
To me, she does not look like her at
well,
all.
Well, what's hilarious is I knew Brittany Murphy before, like, Brittany Murphy got, like, really skinny. Like, so when saw the new Brittany Murphy, because I've always been obsessed with Clueless. So when I saw the new Brittany Murphy, I was like, oh my gosh, she, like, totally, like, transformed.
Yeah.
So I was used to, like, her Clueless Brittany Murphy compared to, like, her. But
she looks
she's,
so
like,
different.
But she's super, like, she's not, like, big, though, in Clueless at all. She looks great.
No.
Like,
no, she just has, like, a little round face, mm-hmm. and she looks young, you know?
I love
like, she
that.
Actually looks young.
Yeah. She's
I feel
adorable.
Like Hollywood always casts older, so you see people at a certain mm-hmm. age, and they look older than they should, and so you get used to that. And then when you see somebody actually that age, it's like, oh, you're a baby, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I felt about her.
Well, the girl that
Which
played
actually,
D, like, mm-hmm. Dion, she was 28 when they filmed that.
Yeah. And she's playing in high school. And that's, like, one of my things with this version of Emma. I feel like they cast everyone much older than they should have. But I still love the cast. I think they got such good people. But so Emma is played by Gwyneth Paltrow, obviously. That's who we've been talking about this whole time. And then Harriet, her friend that she's trying to set up, is played by Toni Collette,
mm-hmm.
who I love so much. She is such a talented actress. Mm-hmm. I really am so impressed by every role I've seen her in. But they're both kind of older than they should have been. And mm-hmm. I think that is one thing that I enjoy about other versions, that they get younger looking actresses. So you can kind of tell like the girliness of trying to get a guy to like you and trying mm-hmm. to kind of manipulate a room of people to do different things, you know?
Yeah.
But, and then they also, the man that they have playing Mr. Knightley.
Oh, my
God. Jeremy Northam.
Jeremy Northam.
He's
Yum.
Such a doll. He's so cute.
I'm obsessed with him. Like, I just remember, I just watch him and when they're arguing with the Bone Arrows about how... about
their
how,
argument scene is the best one. It's so mm-hmm. good.
About how they're arguing about how he's so mad at Emma for not, like, allow like advising
Breaking
Harriet
up.
To not be with Robert and then
Robert proposed and then she kind of influences Harriet to turn him down
mm-hmm. and then she like puts a bone arrow like at the last one of the scene and then hits like a dog and then he's like try not to kill my dogs and then he like does this little smirk
mm-hmm.
which that's
and that's the thing I really like how he portrays that character because I had read something that he hadn't read Jane Austen before he got cast, and he had like met with the director and they had just talked for a while, and he's like, I think you're going to be a good person for this. And he was like, I really don't like Jane Austen that much. And he said that he didn't actually get into Jane Austen until they were in the middle of filming, and he and Toni Collette actually started reading the book together, and then after that they really liked Jane Austen. But he said that the thing that got him to connect with his character was that Mr. Knightley always had hope that Emma would be a better person. Like, he always had hope that she was going to be good and improve. And he was like, I just found that so endearing that I really connected with that in the character. And I think he does such a good job of portraying that, because he'll call her out, but he always has a little hint of a grin when talking to Emma, even when he's like really annoyed with her or disappointed in her. He always kind of has this gleam of like, I know you're in there. I know you can do better, and I'm rooting for you. That's why I'm calling you out right now, you know? And I just find that so endearing and so sweet and innocent for a love story, that that's what it's based on, you know?
I do too. I love that. And you're right. He does have that smirk. And same with Josh, with Cher. Like, you can totally tell. They're just so adorable with each other.
They are. They're really cute. So in Clueless, the cast lineup, Mr. Knightley, who is best friends with Emma, and then they're the love interest that fall in love at the end. In Clueless, Cher is Emma, and Paul Rudd plays Josh, who is like the Mr. Knightley. And I love Paul Rudd so much.
I know. He's
so cute.
What a hottie boom body. Like, I can't. I love that.
He's been cute like his whole life. Like, when he was younger, as he's gotten older, he has just stayed so handsome and cute.
I know.
I love him.
Well, and I love that line where she goes in the beginning where she's like, oh, is that flannel shirt a nod to the crispy Seattle weather? Or are you just trying to stay warm in front of the refrigerator?
Like, there's that clever writing in that.
And I just love that they have that like playfulness with each other, and that trust too. It's really cool. And it is.
Yeah, they're always kind of teasing each other, huh?
It's super, just super sweet. I love that. And that's what I want.
That's why we should all just be set up, matchmake.
I know. Oh, I forgot to say, I will say the, okay, so Robert and Emma, you know how he said that he hadn't read the book yet that Harriet suggested he read?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was like something, is it something about a forest?
The Enchantment of the Forest.
Yeah. And he said he hadn't read it, but then Emma was like, oh, like, he hasn't read that book yet, you know? It's kind of like,
He's obviously not into you because he's not reading your books.
Yeah, I thought that was so ridiculous. And then he does read it. So in a way, that's sort of like his, because in Clueless, it was like the drug addiction, right? But this one is like, oh, he read your book.
Aww.
You know
back
what I mean?
In the day. Yeah, that is a funny parallel to draw.
Because I was drawing all these parallels, you know, because obviously, like, with the, so when Emma draws Harriet the likeness, so in Clueless, Emma, or Cher, takes pictures of Ty, that picture of Ty. So then Harriet, like, or Mr. Elton, like, gets the likeness of Harriet framed, right? Doesn't he pay for the frame?
And then he drives into town to get it, and it's all cute.
Yeah, and then Elton in, see the similarity? In Clueless, Elton, he gets the picture from Cher and puts it in his locker. So there's the parallel.
Yeah, so he's doing all these things in both versions to flirt with Cher or Emma. And because Cher and Emma's constantly trying to, like, get Harriet involved, she's always taking it for, like, oh, he's trying to get closer to Harriet or Ty. But then you're, like, always, she's always misreading the signs, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of, it's an interesting thing to see, like, the difference of how they get realizations, you know? Because Emma's, like, that's one of the reasons I love the story of Emma, so much. I think it's one of my favorite Jane Austen's, because you see such growth in her, of her having like kind of a stuck up perspective of life. And then as she thinks she has all this control and all this power to manipulate people and to get them to like who she wants, and then that doesn't work out, she sees how it hurts people's feelings, and she's like really chastened by it. But she's chastened because it didn't work. not because she actually sees her hand in it, you know, she's like, oh, it didn't work. And like, I encouraged you to do something that didn't work out. And that's awful. And then later when she tries to manipulate again and it backfires again, she's really like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. Like, I have actually hurt people's feelings, you know? So I like how you see that development. And in Clueless, I thought it was so cute how she kind of takes a moment. She's like, I looked around at my friends and I have really good like people in my life and they're really sweet in the things they do. And I can learn a lot from them. You know, like she kind of has like a moment of looking outside of herself instead of being like, I do this and I'm good at this. And I da 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 da. She looks at other people and she's like, I can learn so much from the people I have. And it's not about me, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So. Okay, so this parallel, because I have another parallel that I want to link up to, but this parallel I've like always had, it's definitely more of like a tougher one to figure out because I think it's a bunch of parallels. So in Emma, we have Miss Taylor, her governess, who turns into Mrs. Weston, right? Yeah. So who she hooks up with, Mr. Weston. Yeah. So, but in Cher, okay, I was always thinking, Clueless. I'm like, okay, who, I mean, in Clueless, yeah, who is Mrs. Weston, Miss Taylor? I was like, okay, I think it's a mix between Dion, kind of, and Miss Geist, because she sets up Miss Geist with Mr. Hall.
Oh, so, totally. I totally agree. Because I was thinking it's Dion like
a mix of those two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay. So I was thinking this parallel, which was kind of funny because in Clueless, Dion is her classmate. She's like her age. They're buddies, you know. In Emma, Mrs. Weston was her governess. So obviously she was much older than her, kind of like helping to raise her and shape her and bring her into society. And then she ends up getting married. So she's like a little older when she gets married and she marries a man that had been married, had a son, and then his wife passed away, and so he's a widower. It's a guy when it's a widower, right? Okay, yeah. So he's a widower. They get married. They're super happy. And in Clueless, it's her friend. But I just like the difference because she's, like, dating. She has a boyfriend the whole time.
Yeah.
So she's dating this high school guy. But in it, they, like, have the conversation about which one of the girls are virgins and which one aren't, you know? And she has this boyfriend that she's steady with and they're like, you're a virgin? Like, what the heck? And she's like, she's kind of talking about how like, oh yeah, we mess around, but like, I am a virgin. And I think they call, what are they, what's the phrase they say? Like, they're like, the PC word for virgin is like hymenally challenged or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. ensemble challenged or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. So I just was laughing at that when I was watching this. Cause I'm like, I feel like that's the parallel they draw, that she has the boyfriend, she's in high school, but she's still a virgin. And that's kind of a surprise. And then Mrs. Weston was like an older unmarried woman. So obviously that's like her, her deficiency or challenge or whatever, like that, you know? So but then I think they, it is Dion.
Yeah. And then how they linked though, the setup though, is they add, they kind of separated that into, you know,
cause she had to have a first successful setup to like encourage her to set other people up. And so in Clueless, they end up setting up a teacher because they're trying to get their grade improved. They have like a low grade report card. They're like, oh, they're probably just lonely and upset. And if we set them up, then they'll give us a better grade.
No, and I totally...
I thought that was clever.
I totally did that in high school. Not like set teachers up, but I persuaded for better grades. Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Did it work?
Oh, yeah. Got up to my history... up to my history teacher, I'm like, hey, so what can I do to get a better grade?
To just be direct with it.
Yeah, he was like... Okay, so I heard you're a really good singer. And I was like, oh, okay.
Who told you that?
And so he was like, if you sing, I'll give you a better grade. I was like, great. I'll bring options tomorrow. I brought like an accompaniment track and everything. And I was like, okay, which one do you want to hear? And he picked.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So I sang.
Hey. And he goes, did you get a good grade?
He was like, yep, you have a B now.
Yay. That's so funny.
Yeah, it was great. It's from, I literally, because I was like Clueless. I have to be like Clueless, so.
That is so funny. I didn't watch Clueless when I was in high school, so I wasn't that influenced by it.
I used to dress like her. I mean, like, I did the whole thing. I did the whole thing. Okay, so let's see. I one of the, a quote that I liked that from Emma that I wrote down. I love it when Emma is trying to get Mr. Elton to give her a riddle because Harriet is writing a book of riddles, and so she's like, Mr. Elton, like trying to like ease on the relationship with Harriet. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, I can't think of one or something. And then Mr. Knightley's like, you never asked me if I wanted a riddle. And she goes, your entire personality is a riddle, Mr. Knightley. I thought you overqualified. And I loved that.
I love that scene.
I know.
Okay, I have to say, the writing in Emma is so good. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of really funny lines. My favorite line that I got from it was at the beginning when Emma's talking about how she got her friend to marry Mr. Weston and now she'll be happy and all this stuff. And she's like, maybe, you know, I did this. And her dad, who's like such a funny character, he's like, don't set up anyone else, Emma. Like, you got a successful one out of this. Don't set anyone else. And he goes, mm-hmm. marriage is so disruptive to one's social life. And I just have to agree, because Claudia, how many friends have you had that they get married and you're like, I'm so happy for you and I'm so sad because I know mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to just hang out with you anymore, well, you know?
That was my big thing when I got married. I was very sad about that. I was like, oh my gosh, because I had a bunch of roommates and I loved it. And I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I only have to live with one person, you know? But now
extrovert's nightmare.
I know. But I mean, I live by myself now, but I'm in a different stage, you know? It's all about the stages. It's just the stages. Yeah. So
I've definitely had that. I have always been so happy for my friends when they get married, but I have also simultaneously had moments where I'm like, I'm really sad that mm-hmm. we're not going to be in the same stage of life anymore. I had that with my sister. Like, I was so sad when she got engaged and got married because she had like just gotten back from a mission and then pretty quickly started dating somebody and then got married. And I had so much fun when we were both dating that I was like, we can like talk about dating together and like all this stuff. And it just like made me feel really bonded to her. So when that ended, I was really sad, but I knew that she didn't like to date the same way I did. And so it was like good that she had somebody, but oh my gosh, like Claudia, I cried when she told me that she was engaged.
No, I cried.
It was so sad.
My brother got married when I was in fifth grade and I cried. Mm-hmm. I was so sad. Yeah. Cause I was just like, but the funny thing was, is I was like really good friends with both of them. Like, you know, mm-hmm. And so I was like happy, but also like super, I don't know. It was just a lot of emotions that I didn't know how to deal with as like a fifth grader. And I was just like, I don't know.
You're not sure how things will change, but you know, they will. And it's hard. Yeah. I had that too. My brother Tosh, who's like 7 years older than me, he and I are pretty close. And I was closest to him out of all my brothers when I was in high school, and I was 16 when he got married. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited because I loved his fiance. I still love her. I'm really close with her. Like, so excited to have an older sister. But I was sad that he was leaving. And I remember at their wedding, it was like so fun and we were hanging out. And then we all go, you know, they go to leave. And so everyone like goes out to do like the send off and decorate their car and everything. And I was like across the parking lot from the building that we had the wedding at, and we sent them off and they drive away and everyone's like, ah, you know, like you're cheering. And then I turned to go back into the wedding and I was just like, oh, I'm so sad. Mm-hmm. Like, he's gone and it's just not going to be the same. Like, I know it'll be okay, but it's just not going to be the same. And I was like, so, so, so sad. And I was like walking back and my mom's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm just like really sad and I didn't expect to be. Like, it was kind of hard, but then it's been great. You're like, people getting married is so fun, but it is hard as the person left behind a little bit, you know.
It is hard, but I know.
So marriage is disrupting for your social life. I agree with Mr. Woodhouse, whatever his name is, Woodhouse.
So okay, another parallel I wanted to link was Miss Bates. She's like the kindest person to anybody, but she is just like an over-talker and just overexcited. And she's a single woman who lives with her mom, who is like basically gets poorer like as the time goes on, just because she never.
Yeah, she was never married, didn't have,
but she's like never really mean to anybody, and she's like always so excited and like honored to be in the presence of everybody. Like, she's so sweet. So the link I did was, I think Lucy, the maid of in Cher with Clueless, I was thinking it was Lucy.
Oh, Oh, that's a really good parallel, actually. I did not draw that.
I was thinking it was Lucy because when, and Emma, when they're at the Box Hill picnic, they're about to play a game, and then they're like, you know, now we have to say, like, three things or something.
Like, one very clever, two moderately clever, or three really dull things or something like that.
Miss Bates is first, and she's like, oh, I don't know how I'm gonna, you know, do that, blah, blah, blah. And then Emma's like, oh, but, you know, you need to stick with only three, and basically, like, was super rude to her, and it was really sad. But in Clueless, when Cher is like, where's my outfit, blah, 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 like, for her driver test. And then Lucy was like, oh, I sent it somewhere. And then I can't remember what she says. And then she goes, Cher's like, well, I don't speak Mexican. And then she goes, I am not the Mexican. And then, like, throws her, like, towel. And then she was like, goes to Josh. She's like, Josh, what was that all about? And Josh is like, Lucy's from El Salvador. And she goes, so? It's an entirely different country. And then she's like, ah. Uh-huh. So that was the parallel I led for that.
He's like, you're so self-absorbed. You don't know where anything about people. And she's like,
And then when she takes her driving test, she's like super upset at like why Josh called her like so selfish and yada, yada, yada. And that's part of the reason why she fails her driving test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's funny. I hadn't thought about like Mrs. Bates parallel in that because I kind of thought it would be the friend that she's always making fun of. But I guess that's probably more like Charlotte.
I was thinking that was Mrs. What's her bucket? I was thinking that was Mrs. E, Mrs. Elton, because she ends up with, Amber.
Right. Okay, I was thinking it was Jane Fairfax, not Charlotte. Jane Fairfax. But I think you're right, because she ends up with Elton. That's Amber. So that's
the parallel with, so Jane Fairfax in Clueless is the fact that he's gay, that Christian's gay. That's his Jane Fairfax.
Yes.
That's his hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Oh, my gosh. It's not like I watched it last night or anything.
No. I've been thinking about this for, like, all my life, so it's not a big deal.
So I guess it makes sense. You got all these parallels.
But I cry every scene where she, after she, like, insults Miss Bates, and then Mr. Knightley comes and, like, basically, like, oh my gosh, and tells her that was just like.
It's a good one. It is a really compelling scene because he's calling her out on bad behavior and she's kind of embarrassed because she knows she did something really rude and hurtful. And like she says in it that her dad's opinion of her, Mrs. Weston's opinion of her, and Mr. Knightley's are the only ones that really matter to her. And she knew that she had offended both of them at the picnic. Like, she had said something snarky to Mrs. Bates. And both of them were like, Emma, you know, like, they were upset. And so she already knows she's in the wrong. And then when Mr. Knightley comes up to be like, Emma, why would you say that? She's kind of like, well, she is annoying and, you know, stuff like that. And Mr. Knightley just, like, puts her in her place and is like, that, like, badly done, Emma, badly done. And I cannot get over how that cuts to the heart. Like, somebody that you really love and admire being, like, badly done.
And the scene how it's filmed is she's in front and he's just looking at her with the most, like, love that he, like, and it's just, like, this care, but this, like...
But she has her back to him. Mm-hmm. Like, she's turned because she's mad at him and he's just, like, talking to her. And so you can see him being, like, he's, like, imploring her, just, like,
well, and he was saying that, like, if Miss Bates had been of higher stature, then it wouldn't have mattered. Like, he wouldn't have cared. But what I liked about it, though, is that he was worried that she was going to end up with Frank Churchill, which we have got to dissect Frank Churchill because he is, like, a disaster. But Frank Churchill, so he was worried that Frank Churchill was influencing her. Yeah.
Yeah, because Frank is kind of into, like, the shock value of things, and he kind of manipulated or would, like, say things and to get a reaction out of people and to get attention. And Mr. Knightley saw that and didn't like that. But Emma had been hanging out with Frank Churchill And so when she does that, Mr. Knightley's like, great, she's being influenced by him, and she's turning into, like, well, because a worse version of herself.
I think Mr. Knightley knew, and from the very beginning, when Frank and Emma were born, like, around the same time, is that he thought that they were going to eventually maybe end up together. Like, that was sort of in the back of his mind, too, because, you know.
Yeah. Well, especially because his stepmom was her governess and loved and adored her, and so it kind of made sense that they would try and, like, create a link between their two families. So it was almost expected a little bit. But yeah, so Frank Churchill in Emma, he's played by Ewan McGregor, who is
I love hearing him sing. I love his voice.
But, yeah, he has a really good voice. But can we just, like, address the fact that he is wearing the weirdest wig in Emma? He has the dumbest wig.
It's I know, so bad. But...
Why? Who made that decision?
It's the but it worst. Kind of.
I even remember being a little girl, being like, "I don't."
But
like
it, kind of, it kind of, like, it kind of fits, though, because so Frank bad. Churchill is, like, just a mess.
Well, and in the book, doesn't he, like, drive? He rides his horse all the way to London to get a haircut one day. He, like, rides it to London, gets a haircut, rides
it,
back.
So
out
it makes
to the
sense that the parallel
live,
like, in Clueless that they made him gay. It totally makes sense. Because he bought...
Yeah, because he's also, like, really self-absorbed.
And he bought...
You know, and so, not that you have to do that if you're gay, but straight people can be self-absorbed,
too.
Again.
No, but he bought Jane, like, a pianoforte. But you know what I mean? Like, come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he was kind of about the appearance, which actually... So, in Clueless...
Christian.
Is his name Frank in Clueless? What is it? Christian. Okay, so in Clueless, Christian is gay, and at first Cher is kind of, like, into him and tries to kind of, like, date him, and then she's like, oh,
what made me laugh?
This isn't gonna happen, okay? But I like
that. Well, I was just gonna say, what made me laugh is when they were at that party dancing, and he's, like, at the bar and talking to that guy, and then he, like, a girl, like, puts his hand, and he, like, pulls it off. And the chair's like, ah, talking to Ty. He's like, oh, look, like, at how he puts off every other girl, you know? And it's like, oh.
He's obviously into me. Yeah. But he's like, then he'll, like, dance close to the other guys.
I love the way that he, I love how, can we talk about the dancing in that party? It was so funny. They're like, I don't know.
That's how I still dance at clubs. Just like, just
clubs pre weird. Clubs pre 2020. I do too.
Oh, I miss him. But I liked that they kind of had that parallel of him being gay, because Frank Churchill was about his persona that he was giving off. And he, you know, ends up, you find out that he's actually engaged to another woman. He's been in love with her for years and is engaged to her. But because she wouldn't have been approved by his parents, he was keeping it a secret and kind of giving this character of, like, a flirt to all these other girls and getting them, like, all swooning over him and then not delivering, you know, because he was worried about his persona. That's why he, like, drove all the way into London to get a haircut. You know, he wanted people to see him how
he loved
he wanted to
the
be
drama.
Perceived. And I guess and that's kind of similar.
He loved the secrecy, the drama, all of that. He loved it. You know, it's so obvious.
And he was kind of okay being a little mean to get a reaction and to cause a little bit of drama, which is really crappy.
It's really crappy. I will say, so I had this realization. All right. So, you know, at the Box Hill picnic, Mrs. Elton is, like, talking in the movie. She's talking to Jane about how, you know, oh, you must move to Bath or whatever. And Jane's like, no, I don't want to. What is it called? Oh, I don't want to leave Highbury or whatever. And she goes, but, you know, but in your situation, like, how could you even think that, right? So, but then Frank Churchill, he's like, okay, we got to, like, shut this conversation down. Because, like, the reason that she wants to stay in Highbury is because of me, like, all of this stuff, right? So, he's got to shut this conversation down.
Yeah, and he wants her to stay in Highbury
because
he loves her,
but, like,
too.
No one knows, right? So, he, basically, that's when he starts the game that leads Emma into insulting Miss Bates, which, so in a way, Frank Churchill did have an influence on her insulting Miss Bates, if you think about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because Emma kind of liked that he was shocking and that he would say the things that maybe she thought but didn't say because she was too proper to. She was amused by that. And so I can see where that maybe influenced her a bit more. And then where Mr. Knightley especially was like, dang it. Like, I was scared of this influence happening, and I see it happening now, you know?
It is sad. I know.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. But I just, every time I watch it or read the book, I'm just mind blown, especially knowing that Frank and Jane were engaged for that. I'm just, like, mind blown by Frank's behavior. Yeah.
That he acted, like, that way? Yeah.
What the heck?
He's such a dog. I would feel, like, crap if I knew I was engaged to a guy and saw him, like, flirting so blatantly with other women. I mean, yeah, I get that it's a secret, so who knows what kind of arrangements, but actually in the book, didn't she have a problem with that?
I think she did.
I'm not at that part yet. I know. I barely read one chapter in the book, but.
From what I remember. I mean, yeah. Jane Fairfax is really interesting. There's actually a book that I really want to read. It's about, like, it's it's obviously, like, historical fiction, but, or not historical fiction, sorry, like, Jane Austen fiction, like, a spinoff, and it's about, just about Jane Fairfax.
Oh, I've heard of that. She's, like, really interested.
Yeah, she's a fascinating character. Which, isn't that funny, seeing her do that, and you're like, oh my god, she's the same girl in Bridgerton, like, which made me think, I was like, so what if, funny. Like, in Bridgerton, the couple, like, that they're, I'm like, what if this is, like, Frank and Jane? Like, that, I totally would buy it. Because, like, her, yeah, because her husband is, like, this alcoholic in Bridgerton, and it's like, oh, like, yeah. Yeah, his behavior, like, and that whole, that BS about Mr. Dixon and stuff with, like, he was just trying to, like, mess with Jane. Like, I just didn't understand. But I love how, like, Mr. Knightley and Josh both get, like, jealous.
Yeah, because I think they both have the experience of viewing Emma as a friend. And then at some point you kind of have that moment where it's like, oh, wait, I do like them more. And then after that it's, like, panic because you're like, dang it, I'm in the friend zone. I'm not poised to be able to, like, make a move, you know, which here's the thing. I am a firm believer that the friend zone doesn't actually exist. I think at any point you can go from friends to dating. You just have to identify the things that make you a friend instead of a romantic interest and address it and change it, you know, because you put somebody in the friend zone, you take them out of an option for somebody you want to date in your head when you see something you're not attracted to. So if you, like, as a guy, if you're like, I'm friend zoned, then you could be like, okay, so what is it about me that turns her off? And then address that. And then all of a sudden she'd be like, oh, he's, like, I'm kind of digging him, you know? But you have to be able to actually, like, do it. And most guys don't want to know the answer to that or don't want to, like, put in the work or change it. And same with girls. Like, you could probably get out of the friend zone if you could be like, oh, he really likes this, or he, this is the thing that turns him off from me. Am I okay changing that? You know, I mean, we don't have to pull a Sandra D, but I just think that you can always get out of a friend zone.
Okay. Can I just say my opinion about Sandra D and that whole thing? I find nothing wrong with that. I do not think that she completely changed for him because he changed for her too. And then also, who's not to reality. Say they fly up in a car at the end. Okay. First of all. And then second of all, who's to say that the next day she, like, puts on her bobby socks and I think her that's valid. Little poodle skirt again? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, if a guy likes the way that you, and you like a guy and he likes you in a certain outfit. Like, if I like a guy and he tells me that he likes a dress that I've worn, okay, I'm going to wear it, like, for him all the time. And, like, I don't. Because, like, I like creating that attraction and being like, yep, I wore this for you. Like, tell me about it, stud. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see anything wrong with that. And as a little girl, I never thought, when I watched Grease, I never thought.
Because he was doing the same thing. You're totally right.
Like, I never thought that. I thought, oh, she's. And I was like, oh, she's, like, more confident now. Ooh, yeah, get it, Sandy. She's more confident. Like, I didn't see her as, like, oh, now she's, like, because maybe she had that one cigarette.
Her kind of being like, hey, I can hang.
Just for show, just for fun. You know, there's nothing wrong with, like, doing that. I don't think there's anything wrong for doing that for a boy you like.
Yeah, I get that. I think as long as you're still being authentic and you're still okay with it. But you're right. Mm-hmm. You can show different sides and be like, I'm not like this 100% of the time, but he likes it when I do this. And so I do it a little bit more around him. Mm-hmm. And that's totes fine. Yeah. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. And it was one song, you know, it's like.
Yeah. I mean, technically it was two because it was You're One That I Want. And then it was We Go Together Like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking of, well, I have the movie version. Oh,
the actual play.
And the actual play because I recently did it. Yeah.
They are not the same, are they?
Yeah, because we just ended with You're the One That I Want and then the curtain call. You're the one that I want.
You are the one I want.
Who, honey. The one that I want. I love
Such
it.
Such a good one.
I love it. I love that show so much. I want to do it again all day, every day. Oh.
I was Frenchie for Halloween a few years back.
Were you really?
Mm-hmm. I'll post a picture on the Instagram.
Hey, French,
for you guys.
What'd you do to your hair?
Oh, I dyed it.
Oh, my gosh, how fun. Yeah. It looks really tough. Yeah, because I was Marty, so I was like.
That's fun.
Yeah. Every time I tell people that I was Marty, they're like, oh, my God, perfect part for you. Because, like, I didn't really have to act.
That's so funny.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have to act at all. So how long have we been chatting? I feel like has it been a while? It's been a while.
Yeah, we're at 1 hour and 7 minutes, so we're good to wrap up and then trim out, okay. And we'll be good.
I think that I, like, said all of the parallels that I wanted to say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think it's – Clueless is just such a brilliant, like, brilliant,
It's very clever.
Rendition of it.
It's a very clever telling, and the writing is good. You have endearing characters, and it's just kind of silly and fun. So, I like it.
It is fun. But it's – yeah, at the – and I really want a debate class like Mr. Hall, like, so bad.
I think I would excel in his debate class.
You really would. You really would. But the thing is that I just feel like that debate – isn't, like, really taught education anymore. I could totally be wrong. So, like, teachers, like, if that is wrong, like, please tell me. But, like, I feel like everybody should be required, especially in this day and age, to take a debate class like Mr. Hall's where you have to debate both sides.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't agree with it, you have to, like, debate both sides so that you can really understand critical thinking and what the other person is coming from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree. I wish I had taken a debate class in high school because I now realize that I enjoy that a lot, but in high school, for some reason, I thought debate was just, like, dumb arguing, and I didn't like it. Yeah. I didn't like the idea of it.
Well, the only option I had for debate was, like, I could either do competitive acting or debate. So, like, duh, I would do competitive acting. You know what I mean?
Well, if you have to choose between one, obviously, there's no choice. Mm-hmm. Also, the 1995 Emma is so cute with, like, the aesthetic value. Their clothes are her clothes. I want every single dress she wears, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And the music, which is funny that we're talking about Titanic at the beginning, the soundtrack there. But the music in this one is so good. I just love it. And it was funny because when I started watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, this music, I cannot get over it. And I was like, who did the soundtrack? And I looked it up and then I was like, well, of course, it's Rachel Portman who did the soundtrack to that one. Which, you know, at the end of the year, you can get, like, your Spotify, like, top songs and top artists and all of that. One of my top 5 artists played in 2020 was Rachel Portman because I love all of her soundtracks and I listen to them so much. And I was like, of course it's her. I should have recognized it. But
I know. I need to start listening to that soundtrack more because I'm really into listening to the Sense and Sensibility one.
Oh,
with
that's
the
another
Kate
good
version.
One.
Mm-hmm. And also Becoming Jane. I love that soundtrack.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, there's some good.
So I need to listen to the other ones. Well, I know we could talk for like 2 or 3 more hours, but we really need to wrap it up, you guys.
Yeah, that was fun though. There's so. Emma is a deep story.
yeah, and we have so much more. I can't wait to watch the other versions. Like, I'm so excited to. I just love Mr. Knightley so.
He is a really good love interest. I like that he knows Emma so well, you know?
That's what I love about it is there's just something about falling into a relationship that I like, of, like, being friends and then falling into a relationship that I, like, really admire.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, because it's like you know it's somebody you can trust already, and so the love would probably be easier to develop because there's not, like, the... Mm-hmm. But do I want to let myself love you? You know?
Okay, are we doing highs and lows, or did we already do that?
We didn't yet, but we can do that.
Okay, and then, like, say ta-ta.
TGFN. Yes. So our high and low. Do you have one already, or do you want me to go?
My high for the week was my students, for sure. They're so cute. I, like, shared this on Facebook today. You saw it, B. But it made me laugh. So my first graders, which is, like, a really tough class because I was actually talking to my music teacher today about it. And, like, they've gotten better. But, like, the first week, we, like, all came out of that classroom and we were like, we need a drink because, like, these kids are just, like, they're so – they have a good heart. But it's, like – and when they are in – like, when we are singing songs or, like, doing a scene or something and, like, you know, they are in it and, like, in it to win it and they are super great. But then the transition period, it's like, oh my gosh. So, okay, so a first grader says, Miss Claudia, do you have any kids? And I'm like, no, I don't. And then another first grader's like, are you married? And then I'm like laughing, no, I'm not. And then another first grader, she goes, that's so sad. And then another first grader was like, oh, you don't have anyone to live with? And then I was like... Then I was like, I live with my cat. Her name is Kitty. And then all of them were like, show us a picture. So then I show them a picture of my cat who's like in my my towel drawer cupboard thing. And they're like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. She's sitting in your cupboard. Oh my gosh. And then at the end of class, this one girl goes, she goes, Miss Claudia, I love you. You're a good theater teacher. And then another first grader was like, we wish you were our all-the-time real teacher. I was like,
that's so cute.
So that was my, like, hi. Yeah, it was so sweet. Love that. So.
Aw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well.
I know.
My high for this week was I think I talked about it in our last episode, but my brother got back from his mission this week.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really fun. Good. So I got to go to the airport. His flight got in early, which is so annoying when you're trying to do, like, a big, like, welcome back, So it was, like, a little bit hectic, but it was really fun to see him and talk to him the last couple days and just see how he has grown and changed, and I'm excited. So that's my highlight.
Aw, he's so sweet. Is that the brother that wrote on our Facebook?
I know, so right? He's a good guy. So, and he's super so tall. Sweet. He's, like, 6'2", and so he towers over me.
So I guess my low, I guess, would be why I'm eating fire hot Cheetos.
That's valid. That is valid.
I guess just my brain, like, just being, like, confused.
Yeah, that's
all of the things.
That's a low light when you go through that, for sure. But you'll figure it out, girl.
Well, yeah, and, like, I know, and I, like, struggle with, like, depression still, and so, like, it's hard for me sometimes, like, to not just want to, like, just lay in my bed after work and not do anything. Like, if I, you know, but I'm like, oh, no, I actually need to get crap done. Like, but I just want to lay around, you know?
Yeah, totally. But,
yeah.
I mean, and sometimes you need to, but you don't want to, like, let that happen all the time. And it's hard to get the balance.
It is. But, you know, I uploaded my dishes in my dishwasher, and that is,
you, like, uploaded
a big step. I mean, oh, loaded.
I was like, what kind of dishwasher do you
have? I loaded my dishes in my dishwasher. No, it's okay. I loaded my dishes in the dishwasher.
So, funny.
So that's, yeah, I did that. And that's, you know, it's just a thing at a time. So, yeah
definitely. Yeah. It gets you, it throws you through a loop, but you'll get it. My low light, I think, is probably why we're recording in bed right now. It's shark week and I just feel awful and it's just a struggle.
You were surfing the crimson wave. You have to call ass to the ladies.
That's right. I forgot that line in Clueless.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's rough sometimes, you know, the internal nursery is getting remodeled and it is not always easy. So it's okay. Anyway.
Yeah. So, okay, guys, well, we're going to post, like, a whole lot more on our Instagram and all of the things.
Yeah. Follow us there. Cause we'll post any pictures that go along with the episode. So you'll get to see me as Frenchie.
We're, and we're, we're also going to be, like, kind of dividing our time, like, who's posting when on the Instagram. So, like, some days, like, B will be posting, and then some days I will, and, like, blah, 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 blah. So you kind of see, like, our lives in different corners of the nation.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Well, this was fun. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we got to chat about the movies.
I know. Mm-hmm. It was great. Cool. Okay, bye,
guys. See you next week. Bye.